Good morning, Heffield. This morning I have entitled my talk, What on Earth Am I Here For? The season of pandemic and lockdown has changed our lives. It has caused us to ask questions about life and its purpose. A friend of ours, Israel Olufinjana, wrote an article on six theological responses to the coronavirus, and I'm going to borrow some of his themes as we ponder this question. He uses some rather large words, but in some ways the meaning is not so complicated. The first is ontological, and that just means, what is the meaning of life? Why do we exist? What on earth are we here for? The second one is sabbatical. How should we respond to this enforced sabbatical that we are experiencing in a time of lockdown? The third is ecological. What is our responsibility with regards to God's creation? Number four is ecclesiological. What is the church? And how do we do church in this time? And how should we do church after the lockdown has ended? Fifth one is missiological. What is our mission? What is God's mission for us? Number six, eschatological, about the end times. Many people have said to us at this time, is this the end? Have we come to the end? Is this the end times? Is Jesus coming soon? And more importantly, I think the question is, it's not just if this is the end, is are we ready for the end if it is to come? And of course, we know that the answers to these questions are found in the Bible. And what I'm going to do this morning is use an outline of the Bible that we use at college to get the whole story of the Bible. A good way to get an overall synopsis of the story of the Bible is to read it like a drama in six acts, an idea by Michael Gohin here, starting with a dramatic opening in creation. And in Act Two, we have tragedy, you know, the fall. And then hope is sparked. God chooses Israel. And then a hero arises in Jesus. And the commission is then extended to the church. And then we have the grand finale in the new creation. But there is a key difference between reading the Bible in this way and reading any other play that we read, because we read the Bible not just for information, but also to find our place in the biblical story, because we are very much one of the actors in this unfolding drama in human history. So let us start by reading from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And verse 26 says, "God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." We see from the beginning that God created us in his image. We were always meant to bear his image, to reflect his character in our lives. And right after they were created, we are told that God blessed them. And blessing here means the favor of God, given by God, the power to succeed and to prosper and to be fruitful. But you notice that they were blessed before they were told to do anything. Sometimes even we as Christians, we think God will bless us as a reward if we obey his commands. But here we can see that God blessed them even before he gave them a command to do anything. See, when God calls us to do something, he would already have equipped us. Blessing here is not a reward, but an expression of his grace. And so when we are commanded to do something, just as Adam and Eve in a minute, we respond to that command because we have received the grace of God. And let's see what God commanded them to do. The first command is what Chris Wright calls the first great commission. He says, we normally think of Matthew 28, 19 and 20 as the great commission to the church. But Genesis 1, 28, if you like, is the first great commission. And it's the first great commission to all of humanity. And it says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the winged creatures of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So there are two parts to this commission. The first is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the second is to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. But what do these two commandments actually mean? We normally think of the first as, you know, being fruitful and multiplies, having lots of babies. But I believe that God is much more interested he wants far more than just population growth. You see, if we are made in the image of God, then when we are fruitful and when we multiply, we will fill the earth with the image of God. And this is important because I believe that Adam and Eve were mandated to fill the earth with people who reflect the image of God, and thereby the whole earth will bring glory to God. And secondly, they were told to subdue and to have dominion over creation. And this sounds kind of negative. It sounds like we're going to dominate and exploit creation. But Genesis 2:15 tells us that actually they were called to work and take care of the garden. And in the same way, we as humanity are called to work and take care of the rest of God's creation. So what are we here for? There are two reasons. We are here because we are people who bear the image of God. We are here because we are blessed by God. But we also have a purpose. We also have a mission that God has given to us, and that is to multiply his image and to rule over creation by looking after it. But what happens? And we know the story because very soon tragedy strikes. And Adam and Eve fell to the temptation of Satan. And when that happened, the whole of humanity fell. And today we continue to live out the effects of that fall. So instead of bearing God's image, humanity from that time onwards bore a marred image of God. The image of God is still there, but it is spoiled by sin. So instead of just multiplying God's image, we now multiply the image of God with sin as well. Instead of being blessed by God and enjoying that blessing of fruitfulness and prosperity, Ephesians 2 tells us that we also experience death in sin. And, you know, and because of that, because there is sin, we no longer are able to rule over creation righteously. And today we see exploitation of creation as well as human beings. And it's interesting that many scientists are saying that COVID has come about because we have over-exploited the environment. This article in The Guardian 7 months ago says rampant destruction of forests will unleash more pandemics. And they're warning this is not the, the COVID is the first of many to come. And as Christians, I think we should be concerned about the environment, not because the scientists are trying to scare us or the environmentalists are telling us horror stories of what will happen if we don't look after the environment, but we look after the environment because it is part of God's first great commission to us to work and take care of God's creation. But the fall is not the end of the story. God's purposes from the very beginning are not thwarted because hope is sparked. God chooses Israel. Let us read that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord said to Abram, go to your country and your kindred and your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And again, we read that God promises blessing to Abraham even before he sets out from Ur. And it is very clear that that blessing was not for Abraham to keep for himself or for his own benefit, but it is for the benefit of all the families of the earth. God chooses a people, Israel, not to bless some, but all families of the earth. And as his chosen people, they were called to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a treasured possession. They were to bear the image of God by being a holy people, a kingdom under God's kingship, a priesthood who will stand in the gap between God and the rest of the world, and God's treasured, precious, special people. Just as Adam and Eve were commanded to multiply God's image, Abraham was told that he is to teach his children to follow the way of the Lord. And later in the Ten Commandments, Israel was told, teach your children to walk in the ways of the Lord. But how are they to look after their neighbors and the rest of creation? This is what the laws are. There are many laws about how to relate to God, how to relate to the neighbors, how to relate to foreigners, how to relate to animals, how to relate to the land. And Micah 6:8 is a good summary of what they were told to do. They were told to love mercy, to act justly in relation to people, in relation to the creation, and to walk humbly with God. But what happened with Israel? Just like Adam and Eve, the people of Israel failed in their mission. They committed idolatry. Some people started worshiping the gods of the land rather than inviting people to worship Yahweh. And you see the story in Elijah, people were limping between two gods. And he had to say, Lord, show them who you are so that this people will know that you alone are God. And secondly, sometimes we forget that they not only failed in following other gods, they also fail to do justice and righteousness. And we see this in Amos chapter 5, verse 21. God says to the people of Israel, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And we as Christians might say, well, it's got nothing to do with us, but listen to the Message version of this verse. I can't stand your religious meetings. I am fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I am sick of your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you actually sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. And that's what I want. That's all I want. It is very possible for us to repeat what Israel did. But we do have an advantage over the people of Israel because we have a hero in the person of Jesus. Scripture tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. And in the book of John, Jesus tells Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because he perfectly images God. And secondly, we also notice that Jesus pleased God before he did any ministry. When he went into John's baptism and came up, the heavens opened and God said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Isn't that interesting that God was pleased with Jesus even before he did any ministry? But ministry he did. And what did he accomplish in his ministry? Well, what he accomplished changed everything for us. Through his death and resurrection, he defeated death, he defeated sin, and so today we know that he rules over all of creation so that every knee must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Philippians tells us, and all authority in heaven and earth are now his. We learn that in Matthew 28. And Jesus multiplies this image of God in himself by making disciples, whom he then commanded to also make disciples. And because of that, we are here today, 2,000 years later, because we have been blessed with the greatest blessing of all, because the disciples that Jesus made disciples, and today we are here, and we are blessed in that way, that we have the gift of God's salvation through Christ. But that is not the end, because the Great Commission is now extended to the church. And again, before the church even came into existence, you had 120 people trembling, terrified in the upper room. God promises the power of the Holy Spirit on every believer, a blessing that Israel did not have. Because Acts 1:8 tells us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But again, this blessing of the Holy Spirit is not for us to keep, but so that we can be witnesses everywhere, whether it is near or far. The commission of God is extended to the church. We have been blessed not just with salvation and the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:3 that we have been blessed with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And 2 Peter tells us that we have everything that we need to live godly lives. And so, who is the church? We are the people of God who should bear the image of God. We should be conformed to the image of his Son, Paul tells us in the book of Romans. And because we have received salvation by grace nothing that we deserve, because we have received the authority from Jesus, over all heaven and earth, because we have received power in the Holy Spirit, we should respond to the command of Jesus to multiply God's image by making disciples and teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And we are also called to rule together with Christ, co-heirs with Christ, co-rulers with Christ, by exercising justice and righteousness in the way that we relate to people and the way that we relate to God's creation. And we know that we can do this because we know the end of the story. We know how this drama in six acts end. One day, the Bible tells us, we will perfectly image God. One day, we will be blessed to dwell with God in the new heaven and earth. And one day, people from every tribe, language, people, and nation will worship God together. And one day, we will rule and reign with Christ, fulfilling the purpose of God that he set out for humanity all the way back in Act 1, in Genesis 1. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And his plans cannot be blocked, cannot be thwarted, no matter how hard Satan tries. And no matter how many times God's people, like us, like you and I, fail. So let us respond. How are we to respond? How are we to take our place in this unfolding drama, knowing the story from the beginning to the end? We know how the story began. We know how the story will end. Hopefully now you can see the same themes, the same four themes running through from beginning to end. We were made in the image of God, and one day we will perfectly image God. We were blessed from creation, and one day we'll be blessed to dwell with God. We are commanded to multiply the image of God, and one day there will be the end of this multiplication. Multitudes of people from every language, nation, tribe, and tongue will worship God together. We were created to rule over creation by looking after it, and one day we will rule and reign with Christ. We know who we are. We know what we are called to do. This is why we were created. This is why we exist on earth. And now we have a choice. We have a choice, and how should we respond to this? The first question, are we bearing God's image in our lives? You know, I meet many Christians all over the world who say, well, I've got eternal life because I believe in Jesus. So who cares how I live? Scripture tells us if we live with that attitude, that would grieve the Holy Spirit. If we choose to walk away from God, choose to live the way we want to live. But instead, maybe we can choose each day to walk by the Spirit. And if we do that, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Are we bearing the image of God? Are we becoming more and more like him? Are we becoming more and more holy? When people see us, do they see Christ? And hopefully this morning you have been encouraged to know how blessed we are. Because from the moment we were created, we were blessed. When we believed in Jesus, we were blessed. We were blessed with salvation. We were blessed with the Holy Spirit living in us, making it possible for us to have a personal relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to lead a godly life. But how should we live? Knowing that we are so blessed, can we keep this blessing to ourselves? The Bible challenges, I believe, to be a blessing to all families on earth. How can we do that? How can we multiply God's image? How can we make disciples who will become like him? You know, a friend of ours was just sharing that during this pandemic, she went around to her neighbors who had helped the community to give them flowers and to say thank you for their part in helping the community in this time of lockdown. And she was saying something that was really interesting. She said, you know, in this way, I'm helping my neighbors to become more like Christ, even though they're not yet Christians. Maybe one day they will be, but I'm going to disciple them to do the right things by thanking them whenever I see the good and the God in them. Can we do that? But ultimately, we know that people can only really multiply the image of God when they have the Spirit of God living in them. And that is only possible when they give their life to Jesus. Who are the friends? Who are the family members that we love and care about? Who can we commit to praying for to come to know Christ? And will we keep praying and praying and sharing until they come to know Jesus? And finally, how are we caring for God's creation? How are we caring for the people that God has put around us? And how are we caring for the environment that God has placed us in? There's a lot that we can do. And if you say, wow, that's almost overwhelming, remember this verse. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's Philippians 2:13. God is working in you, and he will give you the desire, but also the power to do what pleases him. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your word. We thank you that our lives have meaning, that you created us with a purpose from the very beginning. We thank you that we are made in your image. We thank you that we are called to multiply the image of God wherever we are. Father, we thank you that we are so blessed. We are so blessed, and we are not blessed because we have been good. We are blessed because you are a God who loves to bless. And we have received every spiritual blessing on earth and in heaven. And Father, we want to pray that as we have been blessed, God, we will move out in faith to be a blessing. Help us, Lord, to look after the people that you've placed in our lives. Help us to look after the people around us. Help us to look after the environment and rule and reign over creation as you created us for. Father, thank you for the hope that we have, that in some ways we cannot fail in this mission because we know the end of the story from the beginning. Father, we want to pray that, Lord, we will be ready on that day when you come again or when we will stand before you face to face. And Father, I want to pray that you will help us to live our lives in such a way that when we stand before you, we will hear those words of affirmation. Well done, good and faithful servants. Father, help us to love you by being more and more like you and doing what you've called us to do day by day until the day we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.